Thank you for joining The Secret Chord, a weekly exploration of music and spirituality. I'm your host, Adam Jacobs. Hello all, and welcome to episode 17 of The Secret Chord, featuring the music of the great Leonard Cohen. I'm also pleased to announce that The Secret Chord is being brought to you by superjeweler.com, my favorite online fine jewelry destination. So Leonard Cohen. Leonard Norman Cohen was born on September 21st in 1934 and passed away on November 7th, 2016. He was quite an amazing singer, songwriter, poet, novelist. He explored themes of religion, politics, sexuality, and relationships. He was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame and the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was invested as a companion of the Order of Canada, which is apparently a big honor, the nation's highest civilian honor. And in 2011, he received one of the Prince of Asturias Awards for Literature and the 9th Glenn Gould Prize. So he's a literary man and received a lot of accolades for his writing, both the written word and the sung word in his case, but he has his own unique style. And his most famous composition is called Hallelujah. So this song has a very interesting history. And although it was written by Leonard Cohen, he wasn't the one who made it famous ultimately. And the version that I'm going to play you today is by a performer named Jeff Buckley, who we'll talk about in just a little bit. So Cohen released this in 1984 on an album called Various Positions, and it was not very successful. Later, John Cale from the Velvet Underground recorded a cover version of it in 1991. That was the first cover version. And that version inspired Jeff Buckley to record another version of it. So then a critical moment happened for the song when it was featured in the film Shrek in 2001, which is extremely popular. And after that, it took off. And many people did versions of it. Actually, there are over 300 versions of this song. And it became even more popular after Leonard died in 2016. And actually then it made the American Billboard Hot 100 for the very first time. So the background of the song, Leonard wrote 80 draft verses of the tune with one writing session apparently at the Royalton Hotel in New York, where he was reduced to sitting on the floor in his underpants, banging his head on the floor. That's artistic creativity for you. The original version, which I mentioned was on this album, Various Positions, contains a bunch of biblical references, evokes stories of Samson and Delilah and the Book of Judges, the story of David and Bathsheba, and has been described by some in a term that I really find interesting, which is a secular hymn. We'll get more into it, but clearly there's a lot going on for Leonard Cohen when he writes this, a lot of religious and biblical imagery mixed together with a bunch of secular thinking. And the result was obviously very poignant for 300 people to want to cover it. So let's play one bit of the Leonard Cohen version so we'll be able to compare it with the other ones. This is the intro of Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you?
So Canadian singer K.D. Lang, who we spoke about last week, said once in an interview shortly after Leonard Cohen's death, that she considered the song to be about the struggle between having human desire and searching for spiritual wisdom. It's being caught between those two places, she said. I think that's true. I love the tension within the song, and I think the person who captures it best is Jeff Buckley. And if you haven't heard of him, he was born in 1966, unfortunately passed away too young in 1997. His biological father, Tim Buckley, was also a great singer-songwriter. And in the 60s and 70s, he released a series of folk and jazz albums that were magnificent, actually, and really worthy of attention as well. Unfortunately, Tim died of a drug overdose in 1975. And I guess picking up the mantle, Jeff became a great musician as well. And he went on to record what would be his only studio album, which was called Grace in 1994. Unfortunately, he died of an accidental drowning in 1997. So, accolades for this version. In 2004, Jeff Buckley's version was ranked 259 in Rolling Stone's The Top 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. That same year, Time magazine called Buckley's version exquisitely sung, observing Cohen murmured the original like a dirge, but Buckley treated the song like a tiny capsule of humanity. Nice. Using his voice to careen between glory and sadness, beauty and pain, it's one of the great songs. That's pretty high praise, I would say, and I also think it's totally accurate. In this version, it's just Jeff and his guitar, and he's playing both so well, and it works so beautifully together. It's a shame, it's a tragedy that he only made one record because he was really going places. So let's take a listen to the song. Absorb what it has to offer, and as always, we'll do our analysis musically and lyrically afterwards. This is Hallelujah by the great Jeff Buckley.
Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the this floor, you know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 there was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, maybe there is a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. And it's not a cry that you hear at night, it's not somebody who's seen the light, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah, hallelujah.
So as I mentioned at the beginning, this podcast is now being sponsored by superjeweler.com. And in thinking about that a little bit, I thought, you know, music is one way of communicating by attaching meaning to sound. And giving beautiful objects to people is another. It's a way of attaching affection, love, which is a spiritual thing, to a physical thing. And if you use the coupon code ADAM20... you will get 20% off anything and everything on the site. Superjeweler.com, millions of happy customers since 1999. So, hallelujah. In its original version, it was recorded in 12/8 time, which is not the most conventional time signature. It evokes both early rock and roll and also gospel music, which I think you can hear in this tune. It was written in the key of C major. And the chord progression that gets mentioned at the beginning matches the lyrics from the song. So when it says, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, he's actually going through those chords and those intervals, which is an interesting feature of the tune. And Cohen believed that, quote unquote, many different hallelujahs exist, whatever exactly he means by that. And therefore, it seems to me that the covers have very different tones and intents. He meant for this to be malleable and expressible in many different people's hands. So I'd say that the Cohen version is sort of dispassionate, maybe a tad cynical. The John Cale version has soberness and sincerity. The Jeff Buckley version is sorrowful. And there's another one by Rufus Wainwright that I would describe as purifying and liturgical. So the lens that we view something through, even if it's the exact same thing, can and does dramatically affect how we experience it. That is obviously true with music. It's true in life as well. The word itself, hallelujah, is two Hebrew words. Hallelu means you all should praise. It's an imperative. Praise Yah, God. Praise God. And looking at the lyrics, sometimes it seems like this song is a praise of God, and sometimes it seems like it's a bit of a critique as well. But interestingly, in the Jewish tradition at least, we have praises on the good as well as the bad. And that ultimately, I think if you look carefully at the lyrics that Leonard Cohen wrote, he's sort of doing that. He opens up by saying, "Now I've heard there was a secret chord." Yes, that's where we get the name of this podcast. "That David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't care for music, really, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah." Now, King David was indeed a composer and wrote some of the most famous songs in world history. And like all truth seekers, he was indeed baffled at times. For instance, when he writes, "From the depths I call to you," which is famous from the book of Psalms. A lot of the Psalms, if you look at them, and there's 150 of them, are pretty hopeful, but some of them seem to express a lot of despondency and despair, much like the human condition. But this lack of clarity, this bafflement that he may have had at times, didn't shake his faith at all. For instance, as he wrote, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I am with you." Another world-famous line that has stuck with us for 3,000 years. Cohen goes on to say, "You say I took the name in vain. I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you've heard, the holy or the broken hallelujah." I really like those lines. And it's a major theme in Leonard Cohen's writing in general, that the world is indeed broken. He once wrote in a song that was released not too long before he passed away, that there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And that idea is consistent with Kabbalistic thinking, for instance, which would claim that the universe, everything that we know, was designed broken. Literally, there's a crack in everything. And those broken shards of reality are what allow us to participate in the rectification of humanity. It's what makes it all mean something. Yes, we shouldn't expect things to be perfect. Things are designed to be imperfect. And it's our job and our privilege to try to mend them. That's what life's about. And I think that Leonard Cohen, as a writer, and Jeff Buckley, as a performer, do a magnificent job of illustrating that. The last part that I'd like to highlight says, "I did my best. It wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah." Beautiful writing, lyrical, poignant. In the end, Leonard Cohen, as a writer, he's not always delighted with the way life is, but that doesn't seem to prevent him in the same way that it didn't prevent King David. It's okay to recognize the imperfection in your life and in reality, and still to keep on your tongue, hallelujah, that praise of the infinite for good, for bad, with the recognition that at the end of the day, it's all for the best. Musically speaking, Jeff Buckley's final four utterances of the word hallelujah, I find to be extremely meaningful and compelling. He says it four times. "I asked myself, what is being conveyed each time that Jeff sings one of these hallelujahs? And although it's totally subjective, This is what I came up with. The first time sounds to me defiant. The second is pensive. The third is accepting. And I would describe the last one as everlasting. He actually sings the word for 22 beautiful seconds, accompanying himself on the guitar and tapering off into this beautiful, soft melody. It's an extremely effective and powerful performance. It's a great song that has inspired millions of people and been covered by hundreds of people. And there's something about it that has just spoken to all of us. As such, it has earned this accolade of a secular hymn. I think it's a profound piece of art, and I have enjoyed discussing some simple ideas with you about it. I hope you liked it, and I hope you will join me next week for another artist, another set of ideas. Thank you for being here, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to find more content like this, as well as information about live programming, visit us at www.aishny.com. That's www.aishny.com.